I'm going to begin today's sermon by doing something that might make some people feel a little bit awkward or uncomfortable. But I'm not going to sing, so you are safe with that. Now, I want to invite you to just stand up where you are, and we're just going to take a minute to introduce yourself to the people who are around you. Shake their hand. If you don't know who is around you, introduce yourself, say your name. If you are by yourself, you might have to move a little bit. All right, awesome. I think that's enough socializing for now. Thank you for that. Now, like me, some of you in this room, that would have been part of your church experience growing up. For me, I started going to church in the Uniting Church, and we would pass the peace in the service. We would greet everybody and say, "Peace be with you," and also with you. And other churches I've been part of, there's always been this section where you get up and you kind of greet the people around you. Funnily enough, there was always an influx of people that arrived after that point in the service. Because for the extroverts and those who love to meet new people, this is so much better than a sermon. I don't have to sit down and listen. I get to actually talk to people. But for the introverts and the people who look at the fact that Jesus had 12 disciples and go, how did he manage so many people all the time? It's really off-putting and really uncomfortable. But I wanted to begin that way today because I think that so often we can come to church and we can sit in our seats and we actually forget to look at who is around us. We forget to pay attention to the people who are on either side of us or across the room. Because if you have a look around our church right now, we have got a lot of people. Some people you would know, some people you probably don't know. And yet we're all here in this room together. And today we are launching a new series called The Gathered, a one another community. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring some of the one another statements of Scripture, looking at the ways in which we as the church are called to act towards one another, the ways in which we are called to share and love and be with each other. Now, if you have a look, if you've got good eyes, you might be able to read some of those, but this is a list of most of the one another statements in Scripture. There's things like be at peace with one another, love one another, outdo one another in showing honor. There's also greet one another with a holy kiss. I'll allow Gavin to preach on that one. There's show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Pray for one another. Confess your sins to one another. These one another statements that we see in Scripture are meant to be a guide. They're meant to be a way to help us understand what it means and what it looks like to be part of the kingdom of God. And there is a lot of them. And we see pictures of what these one another kind of communities look like as you go through Scripture. In fact, just after Pentecost, we've got a really powerful picture of what the early church looked like as they were living out these one another's. In Acts 2, 42 to 47, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now we see this beautiful picture of the very early church. Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered. These people who have walked with Jesus, spent time with Jesus, who have been hearing about what the kingdom of God is all about. They've heard Jesus describing it, some of them for 3 years. They've seen Jesus modeling the kingdom of God. And now they have the opportunity to actually live it out, empowered by the Spirit at Pentecost. And we have these one another statements happening in there. You know, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They shared out of what they had. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They had fellowship with each other. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They shared hospitality to one another. As you look at that picture of people living in community, you see that they are loving one another. But what we also notice at the end of this passage, it says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." There's this element that as we live out the kingdom, God draws people in. As we choose to actually live out these one another statements, as we choose to live out the ways of God's kingdom, there is something powerful about that, that people around us look and go, "What's going on there?" And God stirs something in their hearts and draws them in. And I'm not saying that all we have to do is live in a certain way and all of a sudden everyone around us will be saved. But there is something powerful about the kingdom of God being lived out and worked out in a community that people around us look at and they go, "Wow, there's something different about that." And they look deeper and they're having a chance to encounter Jesus through that. Because this example of the church, as they live out the kingdom, as they represent Jesus to the world, are showing him. And God draws them in. God brings them in to the kingdom. And so as we think about this idea, as we look at this passage and this idea of these one another communities, it forces us to actually ask a bit of a question. If people looked at the way that we as ASBC live out the kingdom, what would they say? Now, if people looked at the way that we relate to each other, the way that we are in community with each other, the way that we care for each other, love one another, as we do these one another's, how would they describe us? What would they see? Is our community one that draws people in, or does it push people out? Is our community one where people can see Jesus at work? Where people's lives are transformed and changed? Where people show love to one another? Because this is the purpose of this series. As we go through these one another's of the New Testament, we want to take the opportunity to actually pause and reflect on how are we going as a community at living these out? How are we going at actually sharing the hope that we have? And we need to be realistic about it because it's hard. And I showed that beautiful image of the Acts church right there. We've got to remember that just a couple of chapters later, you've got the story of Ananias and Sapphira, where hypocrisy and self-interest get in and shift it. This is not something that we are going to reach, but it's something that we can strive for and towards. And these one another's give us a way of helping to understand what this looks like and how we do it. And so today, we're going to explore love one another. a command that makes up almost a third of all these one another statements in Scripture. Which isn't surprising when you think about how often Jesus talked about it. In fact, that the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. But the challenging thing is, when you say love one another, it's kind of a little bit ambiguous, right? It's a little bit hard to try and work out what does that actually look like and how do you do that? For example, and I'm not going to name any names right now, but some unnamed carpenter children, including one who I think is up at the projection desk right now, understood loving one another to be choosing to put a crocodile in my office while I was on leave. But they showed love to the crocodile because there is an inflatable pool with water. They made sure that he had the right environment. Now, I do actually love this. I love this image and I love this idea because it shows that there is a good relationship here, that there is approachability and the ability to have fun. This is an example of loving one another. Don't do it again. And I will just say, whoever is providing keys to get into my office, can I have a conversation with you after the service? But it is a great example of loving one another. But I don't think that everybody wants to have a crocodile show up in their house or in their office. And so when we look at Paul's words in Romans chapter 12, we see that he shares about what it means, or he shares about the command to love one another, but he also breaks it down. So Romans 12, 9 to 16 says this. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Paul's writing this letter to the church in Rome, and he says there, be devoted to one another in love. But all these verses around help to unpack that picture, that image of what it actually looks like to be devoted, to be loving to one another. You know, he says that love must be sincere. He talks about sharing with the Lord's people who are in need, practicing hospitality, blessing those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. He talks about never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. As we love others, we need to keep seeking God in that, so that we are able to love others. But it's a pretty big list, right? There's a lot going on in there. There's a lot that we are called to do and the way that we are called to live. And so this morning, I want to go through this list and I want to kind of just unpack some of what it looks like for us to love. But I also, as we do that, I want to ask the question and to reflect on, as a church, how are we as ASBC going at loving one another? Because this is about community. These one another statements are about how we relate to each other. And so I want to actually invite us to reflect together. I'm not going to ask you to share. But this is something that we often do in our members' meetings. We take the opportunity to ask the questions and to consider as a community, how are we going? We're not going to have a chance to share back to each other today, but I invite you to continue this conversation over morning tea, to keep reflecting on it throughout the day. I would also love to, if there's something that sparks within you through this, I would love to have a conversation with you, or for you to email me, fill in a connect form, or just, yeah, come and have a chat. But at the same time, as we take the time to kind of reflect on how we're going as a community, it's not enough to just do that. I also want to ask the question and reflect, how are we as individuals helping to grow this in our community? How are we as individuals helping to ensure that we are showing love to one another in a way that supports and encourages the whole community? So we're going to go through some of these items as we go. First one is verses 9 to 10, which says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. See, Paul starts this list by talking about the fact that love needs to be genuine. It's not enough to just fake something or to love others in order to gain something for yourself, because that's not true love. When we love, it needs to be sincere, honest, truthful, devoted to one another. It's about actually caring for and valuing and seeing the person who is right there in front of you. Not just going through the motions because you're trying to be a kind person, but actually pausing to see and value the person in front of you. To affirm their humanity. To affirm the beauty of who God made them to be. To understand that it's not just words that we say. Now, it's the difference between walking past somebody and saying, how you going, not expecting a response, and actually stopping to have a conversation. How are you going? It's about sincerity and genuineness. Because so often we can be friendly and we can be kind, but we also completely miss the person who's right in front of us or sitting just a few seats away from us each week. Love is genuine. It needs to be sincere. And so the question to reflect on, to ask, is, as the ASBC community, do we love others genuinely? Do we truly see the people who are around us, and do we love them? Do we care for them? Devotedly, like family, with affection? Are the people around us just objects? Bums on seats? Or are they people who matter? Who have value? Who are important? As a community, how do we go at actually showing that genuine and sincere love? But then the question is for individuals, because I know that when we think about people and we talk about loving sincerely, there's always probably somebody who kind of pops into our head that we go, it's just really hard to love them sincerely. It's just really, really hard to be genuine and to try and care there. And yet the beautiful thing is, all throughout Scripture, but in particular in 1 John 4, it reminds us that this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us. And then in the next verse, it reminds us that because God has loved us, we need to love one another. We are able to love because of what God has already done for us. And so maybe there's somebody in your mind that you just need to invite Holy Spirit in to help you love more sincerely, to be genuine, to move past just that kindness that doesn't actually see the person, but to go that little bit deeper. Maybe there's somebody that we need to invite God in to help us in that space. I'm going to go through these quickly because, you know, we don't want to be here all day. But I will be sending out, there'll be these questions coming out in the Monday Reflections tomorrow, or they'll be available on the website. But the next one is love honors others. In the ESV, it says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. When I was on leave recently, I went to Coffs Harbour for a wedding of a friend. And in the middle of the ceremony, my friend and his new wife, they both love board games. In fact, they're both kind of known for it amongst their circles. And the pastor in the ceremony was just sharing a little bit about love, and he was letting them know that love is not a competition to be won. You know, it's a good thing that we need to share. But he said, except for one area. Because in many translations, it says, outdo one another in showing honor. We are called to compete with one another, to be better at showing honor to each other. We are called to outdo each other. And I love the way that that's put, because we're called to outdo each other at respecting the other person. We are called to outdo each other in valuing the other person for who they are and who God has made them to be. We are called to outdo each other in encouraging and celebrating who the other person is. And the core idea that we see here is there is a shift that needs to happen from thinking of ourselves as the most important, and instead choosing to see the other and somebody else as the one who matters more, valuing and respecting them. And so I wonder, as the ASBC community, do we respect and value others more highly than ourselves? Do we actually choose to give others respect? Are we willing to serve others in order to value them? Are we willing to pause and to listen and to hear from the wisdom and experiences of others? As we think about this as individuals, maybe there's somebody that we can actually choose to honor more than ourselves. Maybe there's somebody that's coming to mind that it's like, you know what, that's a step I can take to begin to do that, to begin to be formed into this kingdom way of living. Romans 12:13-15 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Paul shares here that love shares both the things that we have and life. Love shares and shows hospitality to those around us. And this is this idea that we see in Acts as well, as that community were together, as they were sharing everything, they were showing hospitality, they were inviting people into their homes and their spaces. As a church, we often talk about the fact that we are blessed to be a blessing to others. When God has blessed us, it is so that we can reach out to others, so that we can support others and encourage others. We see this in so many ways. It's the beautiful meal trains that are set up after the birth of a baby or the death of a loved one. It is the lending of steam cleaners, of cleaning people's ovens before they move, of actually being available to help people move. It's the using of skills to fix issues in somebody else's house or to tidy up their garden when they're unable to do it, or to help for the 15th time with that same IT issue that you've helped with before. Sharing what we have is inviting people into a space that we have to show hospitality, to share a meal, to invite them into community. Or maybe it's about picking somebody up, the church, or an event during the week, like a women's ministry event or the picnic coming up next week. Somebody that you know can't drive or who doesn't like to go out at night or whatever. Using what you have to show love and to care and support. These are some of the practical ways that we can share and show love. But Paul in this passage also talks about rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. This isn't sharing our possessions. This is actually about sharing life with the people around us. This is about having the space to be able to celebrate the good things that are going on, to be able to know that people care about you so you can celebrate this good news. I got a new job. I haven't. I'm not leaving here. But it's when something changes, you can celebrate that. And people are willing to celebrate with you because they love you, even when things are hard for them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. It's also mourn with those who mourn. It's about being willing to sit in that uncomfortable space when people are sad, when all you want to do is help them to be happy, but knowing that there is a time for mourning. There is a time for sadness and being willing to sit with them in that. Not having to fix it. Not having to make it better. But to just sit beside them, letting them know that they are not alone in that place. Even in the discomfort and even in the uncertainty. It's about meeting people where they're at in life. No matter what happens. And I wonder, as the ASBC community, how do we do this? Do we share possessions and life well? Do we do well at one but not the other? Or do we need to work on it completely? As individuals, the question that comes out of this is, how can I choose to be more intentional about sharing this week? Because maybe you're somebody who finds it really easy to share life with people, to share that vulnerability, to share and sit in those moments with others. But it's kind of hard to lend some of your stuff and your possessions. Or maybe it's the other way around. What would it look like for you to be more intentional this week? Choosing to share and love through that. I'm giving you the questions early this time. The last one, verse 16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Love welcomes people in. You know, one of the beautiful things that we see about the kingdom of God all throughout Scripture is that there are so many different people who are invited in to be part of the kingdom. So many people who once would have been considered to be out are invited in to belong. In fact, even the letter of Romans, Paul was writing it to the Roman church because they were trying to work out, how do we actually live together? The Jewish believers had been expelled from Rome for a time, and so the Gentile believers had been looking after and leading the church. And then the Jewish believers came back in. And there was the struggle and the challenge of, how do we actually relate to each other? How do we deal with each other as we've come from different backgrounds? And Paul is reminding them that while they may have come from different backgrounds, while they may have come from different places, they are now one in Christ Jesus. When we love one another, it's not about loving those who look the same as us or who are similar to us. It's choosing to welcome people into community, even those who are different from us. That the church made up of different people is a good thing, as we are united by who Jesus is and what he has done for us. But the challenge is, sometimes we find ourselves sitting and talking with the same people week after week, the people who are like us. And yet, when we look around this room, we are so blessed as a church that we have so many different ages here in the church. We are blessed that we have so many different people groups making up who we are as a church. And I know from having conversations with people that we have so many different views and diversity in theology here in this room. And yet, we are united here in our love for Jesus and what he has done in us and through us and for us. That he is transforming us, that he is our Savior. And so when we talk about love, we need to make sure that we are not gatekeeping the door, trying to make sure that it's only people who look like us who belong. But instead, we choose to welcome people in and help them to belong. And so as the ASBC community, are we welcoming to people who are not like us? Are we welcoming people who are different? And how are we going at welcoming? And this is one of those things that I would really love to have a conversation. If you are new to ASBC, if you haven't been coming for very long, or even if today's your first time, I would love to have a conversation with you about this, because when you've been here for a while, it's actually really hard to know how you're going. You've got a bit of an idea, but I'd love to hear. But as individuals, the question is, who can I intentionally choose to extend welcome to? And maybe that's not somebody who's new, because, you know, otherwise we might all swamp the same people at the end of the service, and that's a little bit overwhelming. But maybe it's just looking around the room and going, you know what? I know that they've been here for a while, but I've never actually had a conversation with them. Maybe today I'm going to just go and extend welcome, have a conversation, get to know them. Because as a church, as the church, we are called to love one another. We are called to share with one another, both life and possessions. We're called to love genuinely, devotedly, honestly. We are called to outdo each other in honoring the other. And we're called to be a place of welcome. And maybe as you've been reflecting on these things today, there's been something that Holy Spirit has kind of prompted you to go, you know what, this is something that I could work on. This is something that I could do better at or improve on. Or maybe there's also opportunities to go, you know what, as a church, we do pretty well at this. We can celebrate that. But I want to invite you to just reflect and to consider how we as a community are going. Because my hope is that if people looked at the way that we are living out the kingdom, they would say, you know what? That's a bunch of people who love one another. and they show it in their actions. They don't just say it, but they show it. This is a community that loves Jesus, and it shines out from everything that they do. This is a community that reaches out and welcomes people in and helps them to find who Jesus is. That's the kind of community I hope we are. And I'm going to be praying that we can continue to be as we move forward. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, God, I want to just say thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for the way that you have shaped us, the way that you have formed us, the way that you have called us to yourself. And Lord, I thank you for the way that you seek to help us live out your kingdom ways. Lord, all these things that we've talked about today, we don't do it in our own strength, but we do it with your Spirit working in us and through us. And Lord, I thank you that you don't leave us to work it out ourselves. But Lord, I thank you for this community. Lord, I pray that you would help us to know what it looks like to live out these one another's with each other. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to just share well, to share your truth, to share life with each other, and to show devoted love to one another. Lord, be with us, we pray, as we go out into our week, as we spend time at morning tea. Lord, be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.